Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, what if you knew that your company's charitable matching program, that's right, your company's charitable matching program, which most companies have, what if you knew that that was helping to fund Islamic terrorism? And what if you knew that literally millions of dollars are going to the leading Islamic terrorist-related organizations in this country, and nothing was being done about it? Well, unfortunately, it happens to be true. But there may be something that you can do about it. And today on Stand in the Gap Today, we're going to talk with a prime researcher who did a lot of corroboration and coordination on research and later compiled the data that earlier this month on the Daily Caller, this information was made public. And we're going to talk today with David Swindle in the first two segments about this horrendous practice that has now been brought to light and why it must be stopped. Then in segments 3 to 4, I'm going to invite in Justin Murph. He's the Chief Development Officer of the National Parental Rights Organization, parentalrights.org, who's going to update us on an important bill just introduced in Congress about parental rights, what it is, why it's needed, and what you can do about it. All this and more here on the Friday edition of Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohr, and I'm glad to be sharing this hour with you on this last day of a very, very busy week. So let me jump right into this first subject today. Ever hear the phrase, what you don't know might kill you? Well, it certainly applies to our first story today, where thanks to the difficult but insightful and persistent work of several men and one organization, a nearly invisible under-the-radar flow of funds from certain companies and foundations funding Islamic terrorist-related organizations here and abroad with American money has been identified and brought to light. Now, early this month, an article appeared in the Daily Caller entitled, this was the title, Investigation, Foundations Gave Millions to Groups Accused of Terror Ties. So today on Stand in the Gap Today, we're going to talk with the activist who coordinated the research and later compiled the data that earlier this month was the subject of this Daily Caller article. And that person who led the research, I'm going to introduce you now to the program, is David Swindle. David Swindle coordinates various Islamist watch projects, such as countering corporate and governmental support of Islamic groups, exposing Islamist-tainted politicians, and helping police identify violent Islamists. He's also the managing editor of Liberty Island Books, having served previously as an associate editor of PJ Media and Front Page Magazine. David, welcome to Stand in the Gap Today.
Thank you so much for having me, Sam. I'm really glad to talk to you and your audience today.
Well, we're glad to have you on because you've done a lot of things. This one really caught my attention, David. I want to start right off with this question. What was it that made you, first of all, decide to dig into this vital area of the flow of money to terrorist-linked organizations? And I mean, from my perspective, I could say, well, you know, we all wonder where they get their money. That's one. Or
sure,
possibly you knew of some foundations that were directing money, sympathetic. But what was it that really motivated you to get into this?
Well, the project was already ongoing when I came on board at Islamist Watch. But in particular, what really started it is we found one foundation in Minnesota that had made some donations. And it's kind of snowballed from there that if this one foundation is giving money to Islamist groups, then who else is doing it? And so it became really a much more systematic type of research effort there. And we ultimately discovered, and what we revealed in the Daily Caller article, is 51 corporate foundations, 8 community foundations, 9 independent foundations, and 1 donor-advised fund. They're different kinds of foundations, have different kinds of ways that they give money. But I'll be happy to talk with you all about it today.
Well, that's great. So basically what you're saying is that your investigation led to not just one entity, but many, and across a variety of giving options or donating or support options. So when you got into that, let me ask you this. What disturbed you the most? Was it the amount of money or the number of people or who they were? What was it that really stood out that grabbed your attention that should be catching the attention of our listeners?
Well, really, what hit me the most in my heart is when we started to get reactions back from these foundations. And we would contact them with letters, and we'd send them dossiers about the histories of some of these groups that they were funding. And we gave them very clear facts and to explain what these groups are and how they use a 501c3 designation to make them appear to look more legitimate. And pretty much universally from the foundations that we contacted, they just kind of brushed us off and just said, well, if this organization has a 501c3, then we're not too concerned about it. They weren't cognizant of the reality that all kinds of hateful groups can use a 501c3 designation to look more legitimate than they actually are.
Interesting. So the 501c3, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know, is a status for nonprofit organizations that are involved in what would be educational purposes. And I will say, from my experience, David, I know when I was in the Pennsylvania House, I actually convened a special investigative committee into certain areas where we actually were uncovering what certain foundations were doing. It was astounding the amount of money that they were sending to groups that were there actually undercutting us as a nation. Now, none of them were Islamist, but they were doing what you are talking about. So this would be the logical next question. People may be listening, say, well, all right, David, okay, I know companies can give money and match gifts, and many of our listeners probably are part of programs like that. Foundations, okay, some of those listeners may be understanding of that, but the logical next question would be, all right, terrorist-leaning organizations. Terrorist obviously is illegal, unlawful. That's dangerous. That's bad business. My question to you is that, did you uncover any violations of law? Were monies being actually funneled or laundered, put it that perspective, to terrorist-related organizations, breaking of the law, or was this all being done lawfully?
Well, they actually have been sending money to groups that have been recognized and shut down for links for terrorism. In particular, one of the groups that we'll talk about is Islamic Relief, which received the bulk of the money that we talk about. And in the past, their bank accounts have been shut down because of links to terrorism. So it's a little bit difficult because we're dealing with multiple countries and we're dealing with international analysis of these different groups. So some countries are much more cognizant of these groups than even the United States are. They've shut them down and named them as linked to terrorist groups. But, you know, we've just come from eight years of the Obama administration that hasn't quite taken as strong of a stance on groups with these kinds of links.
No, I will go even stronger. They encouraged it. Now, you didn't say that, but I'm saying that, and you are saying it too. They encouraged it, ladies and gentlemen, and a lot of this, when we get into it in the next segment here, was actually facilitated by that last administration. And so, anyway, it's a very important issue. Now, our special guest, David Swindle, he's with Islamist Watch. When we come back, we're actually going to get into how the money actually flows to these Islamic terrorist networks. How does it happen, and what do they do with that money when they get it? So we're going to talk who sent it, to whom is it going, and what are they using it for? Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, in the process of uncovering the flow of money to terrorist-related organizations in the United States and beyond, the research coordinated by David Swindle of Islamist Watch has revealed vast numbers of corporations and foundations, which have become the funnel, in my opinion, one prong of terrorist funding. Coming in from a lot of other perspectives, ladies and gentlemen, we know that, but here is one source of funding that's arising right out of our own American dollars from people right here in this country. So in this segment, we're going to find out who's sending the money, who's getting the money, and what they're doing with it. And with that, I welcome back into the program officially David Swindle. He is a coordinator of various Islamist Watch projects. Islamist Watch is a project of Middle East Forum. You can get to that website by going to MEforum.org. Or Islamist Watch itself has a website at Islamist-Watch.org. Either one of those will take you there and you can find information. So, David, glad you're with us today here again. Let's get back into this and break it out a little bit in this next segment. How much money is actually being funneled to Islamic terrorist organizations here in this country that you discovered? And I wouldn't imagine that you uncovered everything, but what do you think? How much is going there?
Sure. Right now, our research goes back to 2000. And since then, just under $6 million is the amount that we're looking at. $5,832,267.
Now, in reality, is that a lot of money? I mean, that's a lot of money. But in reality, with all of the money coming into these organizations, which you're going to identify in just a minute, is this a lot or a little for these organizations?
The amounts that they're getting are very significant. The amounts are enough to cover staff salaries, enough to cover putting on conferences and bringing in people. So they're really able to do significant work with this money.
Okay. All right. Now, let's go right into it. Can you name some of the biggest corporations involved in this money flow and lay out how it actually works? How's that system work? Name some of these companies.
Sure. Yeah. With the foundations that are linked to corporations, the method that they donate through is through employee matching gifts. Many people are probably familiar with this, where somebody that works for the company will donate maybe $100, $200, and then the company will just blindly match it, not even doing much work to verify. You know, they'll just make sure that they have a 501c3 designation, and then they'll match the donation. And through this process, such foundations as the GE Foundation, they're our number one of the corporate foundations. They donated $537,159. Our number two on the list is the Intel Foundation. All of the money that they donated, $415,862. That was all from last year, 2016.
We just discovered it.
So I anticipate as we continue to do this research moving forward, we may, you know, all of a sudden just a new foundation will come up that just did a bunch of money. You know, it takes time for these forms that have all this information to be revealed and to come out.
Okay, now just a quick one, a question as well. Should these companies have policies in place to evaluate where it goes, or is that an impossible request?
I don't think so. I think it's reasonable to set the standards that these corporations would, you know, would have for any company that they would want to do business with. It was just stunning to me that these big corporations that would normally do such due diligence on a business partner, they won't do that due diligence on these philanthropic partners.
Okay, all right. Those are some corporations. You say the biggest is the GE, General Electric Foundation, and then there's Intel.
Yeah.
Now, you named also... Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I have a few more. The Johnson & Johnson family of companies contribution fund, they're number three on our list with $329,000. Then the Capital Group Companies Charitable Foundation, they're fourth on the list with $201,594. Then the last two that are particularly notable, the Medtronic Foundation, they're the fifth largest with $151,821. And finally, the Verizon Foundation, they're sixth largest with $139,213.
Well, those are
the big
all
ones that are on our list.
Well, those are big ones, and those are all companies that people, our listeners, would understand. What about some of the foundations? You talked about some charitable other ones. Name some of the foundations that are big contributors here.
Sure. Yeah, we didn't only deal with the corporate foundations. We also looked at community foundations. And these are a really different situation because in these foundations, these donations tend to be much bigger amounts, and they're specifically chosen by people at the foundation. So in this case, they don't have any excuse. They're knowingly picking CARE and Islamic Relief and other organizations. And those groups in particular The largest community foundation in the country is the Silicon Valley Community Foundation, and they have donated $330,524 to Islamist groups. We previously called them out and raised a campaign on this earlier in the year, and the Silicon Valley Community Foundation defended CARE. They chose to stand with their donations.
So you're finding... Go ahead. I'm sorry. Give me about two more, and then I want to go into who's getting this money. So name the next two here.
Sure. Yeah. The California Community Foundation is the next one after that, $286,633. And then private foundations that particularly wealthy individuals set up have also been very prolific and effective. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation gave more than anyone, with $1,382,925. And then also the Foundation to Promote an Open Society, which many of your listeners may be familiar with because that's George Soros Foundation. They gave $625,000 to an Islamist group.
Interesting. So no surprise for some of them, ladies and gentlemen. But understand, there's a lot going there. Now, to give a picture here, name a couple of the groups. You already touched on it, but name some of the most obvious identified Islamist terrorist-linked organizations to whom this money is going. Name a few of those.
Sure. We overall looked at seven groups in particular. CARE, Islamic Relief, the Islamic Circle of North America, the Islamic Society of North America, Islamic Circle of North America's Relief Wing, the Muslim American Society, and the Muslim Public Affairs Council, MPAC. Of these groups, the two that your listeners need to be most familiar with that are most prominent and effective are the Council on American Islamic Relations and Islamic Relief. Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, the FBI banned outreach with them since 2008 when CARE was named as an unindicted co-conspirator during the Holy Land Foundation trial. Further, CARE, in 2014, the United Arab Emirates, a Muslim country, they named CARE a terrorist organization. So the United Arab Emirates has gone farther in accurately describing CARE than even our government has at this point. CARE also has had many of their leaders, six in particular, arrested, convicted, or deported for terrorism crimes. Islamic Relief is also really important to understand real quickly. They're the largest Islamic charity in America and the Western world. They had an income of around $110 million in 2014. However, they are a designated terrorist entity in Israel and in the United Arab Emirates. And banks such as UBS and HSBC have closed their bank accounts because of terrorism financing. And also this year, the United Kingdom's Charity Commission investigated Islamic Relief because it was promoting talks given by an imam, Yasser Qadhi, who has previously, you know, advocated for violence against homosexuals and other really radical extreme positions.
So the groups that you're naming are clearly, David, they're not on the fringe. They're actively in the middle. Other nations have named them. So these funds are actually helping terrorist organizations here in our country to undercut our nation and to do all kinds of things. Tell us briefly, what do they do with the money? You already mentioned some salaries and that kind of thing, but how are they actually using this money?
Sure. One thing that we'd like to emphasize so that the foundations that we contact can really see it very clearly, what CARE and Islamic Relief do is they'll frequently host gatherings and conferences, and the imams and activists at these conferences are people that have very radical records, people that will, you know, defend sex slavery based on Islamic grounds, people that will defend honor killings, people that will defend the most extreme application of Sharia law. And that's really how you need to understand CARE and Islamic Relief, is that the terrorism isn't the thing to focus on. The Islamism is what's necessary to focus on. Before somebody becomes a terrorist, they are an Islamist. They embrace ideology which teaches them to hate their fellow Americans, to hate this country, and to make war against it. And that's what these organizations are funding.
So, in effect, these funds right now are finding, training, prepping, teaching young terrorists to obviously do what terrorists do, and that is at one point erupt and create terror and death and destruction in our nation. Is that right?
Yes. It's really shocking, some of these men that are just held up as figures in these Islamist communities despite their long records of saying intolerable things. You know, if they were Christians saying these things, then they certainly wouldn't have gotten as much tolerant as they've gotten.
No, they absolutely wouldn't. And David Swindle of Islamist Watch, thanks for being with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, go to that website, Islamist-watch.org. You can find out more about this. And unfortunately, David, we didn't get to the point of what people can do, but I'm sure if they contact you, you can help instruct them. But ladies and gentlemen, purpose here is inform. Knowledge is the important thing here. David, thanks for being with us. Ladies and gentlemen, stay with us. After this break, we're going to come back and welcome in Justin Murph, talking about the latest congressional effort to pass parental rights legislation and why it's needed.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you are just joining us on Stand in the Gap Today, I really, really want to tell you, thank you for doing so. This program is for you. We try to bring information from a variety of sources, issues of the day, from a biblical and constitutional perspective. And if you've listened to the program long, you know that's what we try to do. But you are the reason for this program. And so I want you to know that and want to thank you for being a part. Now, if you have just joined the program, we've dealt with this first part with terrorist funding, actually how dollars are flowing here in the United States, how dollars are flowing from many people through many companies, through many foundations into the pockets of Islamist connected terrorist organizations such as CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations, or Islamic Relief, other ones. And these things are happening under our noses. And fortunately, if you did not catch that first segment, you can go to our site at standinthegapradio.com and pick up that segment. Now, in this segment here, we're going to shift gears, and we're going to go to the matter of parental rights. Our special guest is going to be Justin Murph. And I want to set this up here as far as why we're talking about this. Since the beginning of our nation, parents have been recognized in law as the highest authority in regard to their children. They are the legal and moral guardians of children. And those are the individuals, parents. They're the ones given the ability by God to birth children and the duty to raise them. But nearly a generation ago or so, government began to step into the decision-making process of families. In some cases, have literally torn apart families, wounding forever innocent children, falsely accusing and victimizing parents for simply doing what they were authorized by God to do. And this invasion of the family has become so bad that an organization was created some time ago to help parents, ultimately to help children. That organization can be found at parentalrights.org. And here to share with us about a new emphasis underway in Congress is Justin Murph. He is the Chief Development Officer for parentalrights.org. Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today, Justin.
Hi, Sam. Thanks so much for having me on the show. Really appreciate it. And thanks for giving us the opportunity just to share about what the Lord is doing through parentalrights.org.
Well, it's an important aspect. I mean, all of us, probably most people listening are parents or they're of parents' age. Maybe many of them are grandparents, or at least there's somebody in the family. At least everybody's listening is a child of somebody, right? So in any case, we understand, but we don't understand to what extent there is such a need. But you are a part of helping to encourage Congress to pass a parental rights bill that's just introduced. Tell us about it. Give us the number of that bill, if you can, and just a little bit about where it is and, you know, who's prime sponsoring, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. So Representative Holtgren from Illinois introduced House Joint Resolution 121 yesterday with 15 original co-sponsors. The bill is a little bit different than our Senate version, which is Senate Joint Resolution 48, that was introduced by Senator Lindsey Graham back in August, but that we're really excited about the House resolution. HJR 121 is a great opportunity to begin to advance the ground for parental rights, and our goal is to try to get as many folks to contact their members of Congress, ask them to become co-sponsors, and we really like to see this amendment put through the committee stage before this Congress is finished. We think that that's a key vital step. You know, the law gives us, the Second Amendment guarantees our rights to gun ownership. The Fourth Amendment guarantees our rights to personal private property, like our homes. But there is actually no constitutional protected right guaranteeing your rights as parents. And one of the things that this, really, the amendment hopes to do is to just level the playing field between the government and parents when it comes to who has the right to determine education, best interest, care, even faith of their children. We believe that the best way to protect parents, to protect children, is to empower parents. And so
there we go.
That's essentially what we want to do. And that's
all
the
right.
purpose behind
it. All right, Justin, that's a good way to say it. The best way to protect children is to empower parents. And as I started the program, ladies and gentlemen, parents' rights come from God, not government.
Right.
And when that gets out of balance is when we have trouble. Now, Justin, if you don't mind, on your website at parentalrights.org, if somebody goes there, they're greeted with a very short video. And I'd like to just to play the audio part of it. It's just about a minute long or so, as to speaks to the issue of why this is important. If you could just play that, Russ, for us, please.
There's one thing we can all agree on. When it comes to raising children, family is better than the government. Sadly, in 1927, the Supreme Court denied parental rights to parents with disabilities, a precedent continuing to this day. African American parents also see their parental rights taken away at an unequal rate compared to other parents. The U.S. Accountability Office has attributed this in part to racial bias. In 2000, the Supreme Court's decision in Troxell took away the protection parental rights used to have as a fundamental right. As a result, parents of all backgrounds are seeing their rights slowly slipping away. Imagine your child being taken away from you simply because you wanted a second opinion on a medical procedure, or being told you cannot view library information for your children, including the titles of books that are accumulating late fees, or being refused access to your 13-year-old's grades without your child's consent. These are real situations happening to real people. Whether Republican, Democrat, or Independent, it's time to unite and act to protect children by preserving parental rights. It's an issue that matters to us all. Sign up to learn more at parentalrights.org. Then share this video with at least 5 friends. Together, we can unite and protect children by empowering parents.
All right, Justin, I thought that very succinctly lays out what you just said, protecting children by empowering parents, and obviously parentalrights.org is there for that purpose. But let's go into it just a little bit. Put some faces on this, if you could. Give us an example or two, perhaps, of things that have happened. Now, that little clip right there cited that black families are inordinately attacked by the government relative to their children, but it goes across the board. It's not limited to that community alone. Give us an example
right.
or two that that really justifies why a piece of legislation on the federal level is so important.
Absolutely. Well, with the African-American children, for example, well, they comprise about 14% of the total child population in the United States. African-American children comprise about 24.3% of all children in U.S. foster care. So
I want you to say that again. Put those numbers out there again. What is it generally,
sure.
and what is the black community that's in foster care?
13.8% of all U.S. children are African-American. However, 24.3% of all children in foster care are African-American. It's almost a quarter of all children in foster care. So it's a disproportionate amount of children in the black community that are affected by this. Now, when you talk about parents with disabilities, this is what astounds me. 35 states actually include disability as grounds for termination of parental rights. Two-thirds of dependency statutes allow the court to determine that a parent is unfit solely based on disability in D.C., Georgia, Kansas, Maryland, Mississippi, North Dakota, New Mexico, Ohio, Oklahoma, and South Carolina, they actually allow disability as the sole grounds for terminating parental rights, even if there is no evidence of abuse or neglect.
Wow. Let me just go down that road just a little bit with you. What level of disability? Blindness? Deafness? I mean, are we getting that kind of thing? Or define disability?
So anything that would fall under the guidelines of the Americans with Disabilities Act, you know, if you have, let's say, a case where a parent has small children, they end up in a wheelchair, a caseworker could make a determination that you may not be able to care for those small children because of your disability. So we deem, the state, it's in the best interest that those children are removed and taken into foster care. That is outstanding. It is unbelievable to think that that actually happens, but it does. And this is exactly why the Parental Rights Amendment is absolutely so important. In the decision that we talked about, Troxell v. Granville, which was in 2000, there were six separate opinions by the Supreme Court. None reached a five-vote majority. Justice Scalia held, actually, that parents have, quote, no constitutionally protected rights whatsoever. That was Scalia's determination. So it's hard for us to actually say that, you know, there are parental rights when those rights aren't enumerated. So it's up to the legislature to do it, and that's exactly what we're doing with this House Joint Resolution 121.
Now, when we come back in the next segment, we're going to talk about that legislation, where it's moving, and so forth. But would you agree with me that probably, just like the name of God is not mentioned in the Constitution, that parental rights and families and parents being in charge of their children were not mentioned in the Constitution because it was so clearly understood they didn't feel it was necessary to do it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was the case until the Pierce v. Society of Sisters decision in 1925. It was understood that parents, obviously, were the intended caretakers and best interest holders of the children, not the state. And yet, because of the ambiguity, because there was no clear decision in the 2000 Troxell decision, lower courts have been misinterpreting that all across the board. And so now is the time for clarity. Now is the time to actually, you know, clearly defend, just as we have defense of our religious freedoms, our freedoms of speech, our Second Amendment freedoms. We need a clear defining amendment that protects the rights of parents so that we can do what's best for children.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the latest effort to pass a congressional piece of legislation on protecting parental rights. We're talking about some of those reasons why it is critically important that it's done. When we come back in the last segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about that piece of legislation, what the next steps are for making it happen, and how you can be a part of making it happen. Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
The last half of this program today, ladies and gentlemen, we focused on parental rights and the fact that they came from God. Children are a gift of God. Government's responsibility is only to enforce those laws where there is a breaking of God's laws, effectively, but not to be running the family. But unfortunately, we heard some examples in the last segment with our special guest, Justin Murph, who is the chief development officer for parentalrights.org, and you can go to that website and see what they are doing. But I think this issue is of interest to all of us who are listening, certainly an interest to all Christian parents, to all any parents who really understand what the role is and want to do it. And unfortunately, the cases of parental or child abuse at the hands of government are frankly all too common. I can tell you that when I saw it firsthand when I was in the public office in the Pennsylvania General Assembly, sometimes I noticed that they were by people who were not really necessarily wanting to do a bad job. They were just wanting to do a good job, but they didn't understand the differences between what God put in place relative to the roles of families and the role of the government, and they'd overstepped. In some cases, we found people who were clearly on a vendetta against Christian families who just wanted to live disciplined lives or healthy lives for their children, and families who sought to put their children in, for instance, in homeschooling rather than in the government school system. But for many reasons, the necessity for stronger parental rights legislation that restrains government to its rightful jurisdiction and protects parents in their rightful jurisdiction is clear and obvious. And that's what parentalrights.org is doing. So this piece of legislation now in Congress, we're going to go back and talk to Justin now a bit more about what the next steps are and how he sees it progressing through the congressional system, which obviously, as you all know, sometimes can be painstakingly slow. So, Justin Murph, I want to bring you back in now. What are the next steps? You say there's a House bill, there's a Senate bill. You seem to prefer the House bill more. What's the likelihood for that actually making it out of the House and going to the Senate?
The hope right now is to get a committee hearing, and so to do that, we need to get more co-sponsors. What we would love to see is every state in the union to have a co-sponsor, and so on the website, parentalrights.org, people can begin to learn how to contact their congressman, reach their district office. You know, Congress is going on recess right now for Thanksgiving on Monday, and so they're going to be going back home checking in with folks in their district. And so what a great opportunity to express your thanks for the hard work our congressmen and women do, but also to ask them and encourage them to become a co-sponsor of the parental rights amendment so that we can actually see it go into committee, get heard in the committee, and begin to advance the bill. That's a crucial next step in the process, and that's far more likely if we can get co-sponsors literally from coast to coast. You know, Sam, the proposed parental rights amendment, the first two sections are crucial, particularly to families of faith, because it says this: the liberty of parents to direct the upbringing, education, and care of their children is a fundamental right. The parental right to direct education includes the right to choose an alternative to public education, private, religious, or homeschools, and the right to make reasonable choices within public schools for one's child. And, you know, we homeschool. Many Christian families are choosing to homeschool or private school or even charter school. But at the end of the day, there are even further examples for families of faith. Can you imagine your child saying, you know what, I don't like church. I don't want to go to church anymore. And so they tell their teacher, and the teacher then files a report with CPS claiming that you're emotionally abusing your child by forcing them for religious indoctrination. This is the kind of things that we have. What happened to the days when parents could raise the children in the way they should go, in a way of the Lord? And that's our responsibility as parents. But those responsibilities, those God-given rights, are actually being undermined by a system that is intentionally negating the fundamental human rights bestowed on us by our Creator. And so it is so important. This is not a left or right issue. This is all parents of every stripe should be concerned about this issue, and they should want their parental rights protected coast to coast. And so that's what we're encouraging folks to do, is to contact your congressman. Doesn't matter which party, we need everybody on board for this. And so that's the next step, is at least one from every state. We've got 15 so far, about 10 states represented. We've got 40 more states to go. And I'm hoping today, with your listeners' help, we can see a great increase in that.
So, Justin, and again, for listeners listening, because they're in all of the 50 states, they can contact their congressman, write them, call the office, encourage that congressman, and this would be what they should say. We encourage our congressman to co-sponsor. Give the bill number again.
H.J.R. 121. Yeah, H.J.R.
Okay. 121. H.J.R. 121. So, ladies and gentlemen, as you're listening, if you say, yes, I am a parent, I'm a grandparent. Yes, I do believe that this needs to be, the rights of parents need to be protected if we're going to be able to train up our children the way they should go, what the Bible would say they need to be taught up, then you really should start support this effort. So, call your congressman, write them, call them. Probably the easiest, pick up the phone and call, and ask them to sponsor H.J.R. 121. H.J.R. 121.
If your viewers go to parentalrights.org, they can sign up for more information, update on the process of the bill, and then right there in the response email, they're going to get immediately the link how to contact their congressman by their zip code right where they're at. So we make it very easy for you to email your congressman and to get in touch with them. So it's a great opportunity, but encourage folks to do that. If we can get this introduced into a committee, it's going to mean just a tremendous step forward for all of our rights as parents.
Okay. Can our listeners also do this, that if they know of a circumstance where there is a family or maybe themselves have been approached, have been abused, or whatever that may be, that perhaps has not already gone into the legal system, is that something that they go to your website, they can let parentalrights.org know that something is happening, and can you provide advice and counsel for them if that happens?
We do actually have some legal assistance, or at least direction that we can begin to point some folks to in certain circumstances. So if they have any at all, sure, they can also email us at Parental Rights. You can use the contact page there at parentalrights.org. And if we can help, we'd be glad to.
All right. Well, very good. Well, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I hope that you do that. Take advantage of that. That's parentalrights.org. Go there for information. Go there to get on the list for updates on this piece of legislation, what's happening. You can communicate to them, and they can communicate to you as well. So, Justin, I want to thank you for being with us today on the program. This has been extraordinarily helpful, and
we pray
that you have a great weekend. Okay.
Likewise.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't mind, I'm going to close the program in prayer briefly, because we're going into a weekend. We need God's help. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great week. I thank you for the listeners who are listening. And we pray that they would respond and be helped by this information today and this week. And I pray that each who are listening would aggressively stand in the gap for truth where they are this week. Go into the weekend. Be in God's house on Sunday. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening and being a part of Stand in the Gap today. Go to our website, pick up this program again, listen to it at your convenience. A lot of information. Stand in the Gap. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.